Public policy affects every aspect of your life, from the roads near your home and the lakes in your city, to education and health, to international trade and foreign policy. If you want to understand this interplay of politics, economics, polity and governance, Takshashila Institution's public policy courses are made just for you. The 12-week graduate certificate program gives you a window into the basics of public policy. You can choose to explore the areas of defense and foreign affairs, tech and policy, or advanced public policy. The course is completely online and is conducted on weekends, making it a perfect fit for working professionals. The applications for the May 2024 cohort are now open. Visit school.takshashila.org.in. For more information, visit www.school.takshashila.org.in or click the link in the show notes.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of All Things Policy. I am Dr. Nityananda, Professor and Head of Geospatial Research at Takshashila Institution. I have an interesting guest today, Mr. Varun Sridharan. He's a founder and CEO of Green Environmental Solution. He's one of a company who is doing an interesting work in the field of wastewater management. Today, we are going to discuss some of the interesting aspects associated to wastewater management in Indian context, especially when the cities are running short of water and more initiatives towards wastewater management started in recent years. And welcome to the podcast, Varun.
Thank you. Thanks for the introduction. It's great to be here on this podcast.
Yeah. Thank you, Varun. So I would start the first question. Varun, what is actually a wastewater management? So can you throw some light to the audience to set up the stage?
Yeah, so I think we need to talk about wastewater management in a non-technical way. I mean, I think that's the best way to make people understand. So once we have the water that we consume in a day, or whatever it could be, water that is generated, you know, through storing water in your wells, or whatever water you have in the wells that is used for daily purposes and all that. So post using of any water, we can consider this as stage one of usage of water, then it becomes a wastewater. So there's some components of waste that gets attached to water. So that's waste in water. That's the second stage that comes in. So it could be organic waste. It could be, today we are even seeing that, there's a lot of these good water surface bodies are having a lot of waste on that. So that's also today categorized as wastewater is floating into a river or lake and all that. So water which is getting contribution of waste as organic waste, chemical waste or industrial waste, getting that into that is a typical wastewater. So in that there are categories called as municipal wastewater, so which is the human waste that is created, that's the municipal wastewater. Also domestic wastewater, so these are just known. And then there is industrial wastewater. Obviously, it is the untreated wastewater that comes into any water bodies, which we can visually see it. So these are different types of wastewater which are there. And yeah, so that's what that is wastewater.
Yeah, thanks for explaining it in a layman term. So I think it has nicely set up a stage. But then, many of people in the country think that it is not important for a country where we have so much of water resources, right? What is the context at national level? Do we really need to care something like wastewater management? Because the waste is something most of the people feels it is not important to recycle it, right? So what is the scenario in Indian context? Is there a need to use this or to reuse this wastewater after treatment in the country at the current stage?
Sure. I think this is a very important question because, why do we need wastewater management? Because I think this story would not be there if we were not having high-rise buildings. I think this story wouldn't have been there if we had, abundant place where we could actually allow this water to, maybe get evaporated or then, moving into different streams, getting diluted. So today we have a big challenge of urbanization. So I think the challenge of urbanization comes with, high-rise buildings in small footprint. We have a lot of people living, and there are industries which needs to produce a lot of these there for their profits. They have to do higher production. So for everything, water is required. So when water is being consumed at a very, I would say, the based on the footprint, there is a lot of this wastewater which is generated. Like I said, what is wastewater? Waste and water is wastewater. So that's a lot generated. So to, you know, just take the point that you mentioned that we have abundant water in our country. I think the abundant part is stage one of water, which I mentioned earlier. So that abundance is allowing us to create more wastewater. So I think today we have abundance of wastewater also. I think as per all the government, you know, policy writing and all these cases, they write about, you know, 70% of untreated water is there in every, you know, in the country. So these are all, I think the, you know, the urbanization is one big challenge. Second is, you know, there are climate related events which has started, you know, in every part of the world. So this climate related event can contribute towards a lot of these wastewater creation faster, because our existing water sources is getting, you know, contaminated because of, you know, sudden rains and flooding and all that. So which has a longer impact. I think we can discuss that. So I think urbanization, less footprint, more people living, creates more wastewater. So managing is important. Recycling and reuse is, I think, still today, I feel it's a very simple solution, but needs better operations to it. So,
Thanks, Varun. In fact, globally, this has seen as an important aspect because it helps to save something like the total quantum of water can be saved in an energy cycle. First, second, it reduces the environmental impact on the volume of untreated water which is discharged. And if it is treated, if it is reused, it actually reduces the impact on environment. It gives an economic efficiency. It helps in enhanced public health because often the untreated water, create this. And also the industrial and commercialization use. That is something where largely people ignores it. But then given the more, requirement of water for industrial and commercial use, recycling wastewater is one of the important thing. And last, the augmentation of drinking water supplies. Like perhaps this could be reused to an extent where it can be, you know, used as drinking water. This is all the major purpose for the wastewater described, globally. But now I want to come to an interesting, question, Varun. For audience, Varun and I started our career together from IIT Madras, you know, working on this wastewater management aspect probably 1.5 decade ago. So Varun, what has actually changed, or is there anything changed with the mindset of people in reusing this water? Because just before I said, it can be used for industrial reuse and it can even be used for drinking water, right? So is there anything changed in the mentality of people in using it? At least, are the people touching wastewater, retreated treated wastewater these days, or still it is considered as something which people should not touch? So what is the scenario on ground today, Varun?
Yeah, so I think, you know, because you mentioned our project, that is the project where Ministry of Urban Development wanted a guidelines for decentralized wastewater treatment plan. So there was a kind of an acceptance that we cannot have big, large sewer networks to collect the wastewater and then treat it as a centralized treatment in any city. So there was a need for a, you know, decentralized system. So that's the project that we worked, right? So I think in that, one of the things that has happened was India was going into, you know, urbanization, and many of the, it was in the early, I would say the mid of 2005 and all this, you know, IT corridors being built and many infrastructure development that was happening in the country. So that time, I think there was a challenge on understanding the, you know, how do we do it here? Because for me, that particular project was a place where, you know, the process related. And then I think when we went into different cities to identify, it was a great experience to see that, you know, there was infrastructure, but not working. And obviously that, you know, taboo of not touching the water, everything was there very high at that time. But now I think what has happened is, you know, urbanization has happened. And I think many of the Indian cities today, you know, there was Niti Aayog, which was telling that 2020, we will be out of water in 21 cities. So I think that's a reality that happened. I think there were many cities like Chennai in 2019 was actually saying people to go work from home. Actually, I was featured in one of the article, which actually had a title that was said, let's go work from home because it's we don't have water at offices. But what I feel is that, you know, this reality of climate change and, you know, recycling both has come together today. So acceptance to recycle water is much, much better than what it was there earlier. But I think the technology to operate it, the smartness is something which is need to be, you know, more evident in the way it is operated.
Yeah, thanks, Varun. So in fact, to add to it, we were actually looking at a solution at community level, transforming it from the network-based or centralized treatment system to the decentralized system, which can work at community level. Because prior to that, there was no guideline. And I mean, we were lucky to be part of this, making the first guideline for this. But then what it actually says is, at that time, what I could remember is the technology for treating water was better with the centralized system, and decentralized system was picking up, few people were using it, and there's a certain level of treatment can happen there, right? So in the decentralized system. So what other technological development happened in, let's say, 15 years or so in terms of treating water at a decentralized level? So, and also throw some light on, is there any improvement happened on public infrastructure where the centralized system works? Is there an upgradation in treatment technologies? Is there the capacities of the cities are expanded or not? Or is there any new thing happening in this centralized and also on the decentralized system, which works at community level, where centralized system works at a larger city level?
Sure. Yeah, so I think technology-wise, there have been consistent improvement in the treatment technologies. There were new companies that was... that are coming up with solutions. But I think before that, you know, I think we need to set a context that, you know, wastewater management is a global business. And I think there are global companies who provide these solutions. There are Indian companies who provide services outside India as well. Like, you know, from Chennai, there's this company called VATech Webag, which is a global water company from India, Thermax and all these companies. So, but for me, you know, I just want to touch upon, you know, post our work at the ministry's guidelines document, I had worked in Middle East as a process engineer after that particular experience. So what I saw there was, you know, there was a country which actually had no water. So like we discussed in the beginning about stage one water, right, where you have water from borewell or you from wells and all that. So there's a country like, you know, Dubai or, you know, United Arab Emirates, where there is no borewells. Okay, they have, it's full of sand, right? It's sand. There's no borewells. They don't get rain like us, so there's no rain. So the only thing that they have surrounding them is salt water. I mean, very high saline water, which is the sea water. So when I went into that country in 2010, and that is post this experience, first thing that I saw was this was a country which had no source of water, which is reliable. I mean, you can't expect borewells or all these things, means there's lack of reliability of water there. So the entire water was supplied by the government. So they desalinate the water and they've been supplying for the domestic purpose, garden, industries, and a lot of these things. And in the same country, the wastewater which is created is actually reused to the maximum extent. So I happened to work in an organization that actually had a global technology for water management. They had, by the time I reached, they were like 10, 11 years, and they had set up 500 of these treatment plants in Dubai. So these places, you know, it was very clear that up to 60% of water, 70% of water was being supplied by the sewage treatment plant or the decentralized treatment plant. And rest of the water, which is priced at very high cost, was supplied through the desalination that they had. You know, today they do cloud seeding and they get rains. But
yeah,
I think
that, today they're doing some interesting things. But yeah. Varun, I'm just wondering, given this importance to this wastewater, that is a reused, reusable, retreated wastewater. So what is, being happening on the ground? For example, today, even though we have something called rainwater harvesting, many people are trying to, store the water which we get from rain. But then the very limited people try to save it or try to, pass it through their borewells in order to recharge it, right? So there is a bit of reluctance on this. So given this, what about wastewater? Are we using it only for toilet flush and gardening? Or is there cases where the things are used beyond that? And what is the thing happening on ground? Once we discuss this, probably we can go about the policies which are, enable this. Is there any change in policy stating, I think 15 years ago, it was more like this water can only be used for, for gardening and for toilet flush. So what is the, the recommendation from government side? Is there any policy level push to make use of this water in a better way? Or one more connected question to that is, if we can at least use this for recharging our ecosystem, especially, once it is treated well, once it is better, can we dump into this, river ecosystem and ponds to recharge it?
Sure. So I think there's a lot of, improvement that has happened in this part. I mean, because one is that, do we have another option? We don't have another option because today you have to reuse water in the Indian cities. So I think, as a company, when we started, GreenVironment is today an 11-year-old company. And when we started, we were looking at this in the city of Chennai. So how can Chennai have more treatment plants which are operating effectively to meet the standards? Because Pollution Control Board in 2014 came up with guidelines for continuous effluent monitoring. Okay, so this was like, okay, you have got sewage treatment plants right now. We've got Pollution Control Board in the country, which has to monitor the pollution level, whether it's happening. So this was actually a good thing that happened in the country in terms of a policy where they had said that first we will focus on the industries, water treatment plant. They have to achieve the correct discharge standards. And also there was a policy to do zero liquid discharge. So industries cannot discharge the water outside the building. They'll have to reuse the maximum water, put advanced treatments, advanced tertiary treatments where you can, put an RO after your treatment plant and then reuse the entire water for factory and purposes. So this was a very good initiative that the policies and governments had brought in, which allowed first step, which is, okay, there is industries today who will not be polluting. But obviously in implementation, there were a lot of challenges. So 2014, these guidelines came in. So when we were a startup, which was from the IIT Madras incubation ecosystem, we were kind of excited about this because it had technology like, sensors and all that in that. And then we thought, okay, we'll latch on to that opportunity. So then we went back to IIT Madras. We told the professors there that, we want to work on this. So they got us something called as, and they gave us a fund called Technology Development Board, DST's fund. So we said we'll make online monitoring of these wastewater treatment plants. So that's what we started working on. Then what we saw was there was a need to operate this plant effectively. Second was use the data from this plant to make sure that there is enough water. Like, for example, in Chennai today, there is a policy that you can reuse the water for multiple things like flushing and all that. You can also inject the water back into the ground to improve your ground, groundwater. And because if you see, because of climate change, a city like Chennai, which used to get, say, 60 to 70 days of rain, got 19 days of rain in 2018. So the rains actually reduced a lot, right? So that was a sign for drought. So there's a policy that said you can inject the water into the ground if you have treated to the correct quality. So the first problem was treatment. I think still that problem exists. It has not, the problem of treatment to bring it standardized from the Pollution Control Board or the, other agencies, it has been a big challenge. And I think that is the challenge that we are also trying to address. And then discharge to lakes has happened in Bangalore. I think we'll discuss about Bangalore in detail, because I think that's where this will have a lot of relevance in terms of, availability of, groundwater.
Yeah. Before we go to Bangalore, since you have pointed out Chennai, so when can we expect, clear river water in Chennai? Because we have grown up by seeing this grey water in Chennai rivers over several years, right? So when the treatment is effective, where are the challenges exist? I understand there are a lot of non-point sources where people are letting it down. I believe over a period of time, this has controlled effectively to minimize it. Are we actually moving better? Can we expect in 10, 15 years from the down the line to expect something like a clear water that we can get it in a river which is in outskirts of this urban setup?
Sure. I think, Chennai is going to be water surplus by 2026. Okay, so yeah. It's the first city that is going to be water surplus. And I think it's all because of Chennai has been the leader in wastewater treatment plant in many sense. I'm telling this based on, whatever data has been published on this. the initiatives which has been already done. I mean, other cities are also in taking steps on this, but Chennai already has taken the first step. So if you see in Chennai, there is this huge plant in a place called Nesappakkam, which collects the Chennai city wastewater into that plant. Today, that plant has a tertiary treatment plant. Coimbatore also has another tertiary treatment plant. So the water that from these systems are coming towards a lake called Porur Lake. So today, if you see Porur Lake, you will see a very, if it's very hot in summer also, you will have water which is fully floating at the topmost level. So this is treated wastewater discharge into a surface water. So this is where, stage one water is now treated, and stage two, again, it's ready for next level of use. So today, the same water goes into a water treatment plant, which is very close to the Porur Lake. It's purified and supplied along with Chennai Metro Water. So this is what is done by Singapore. They have a huge reservoir. They do this. This is done by many other countries in the world. So Chennai has taken this effort. And today, this summer, you will not hear too much about, too many challenges about Chennai really having a problem of water. And it is a very bad summer because of lack of rains and all that. But the one of the reasons is that, and by 2026, the company who is driving this is Viatech Webag and such big players in this. IIT Madras, everybody has been playing in this. And then they have clearly, brought the policy into execution. And I think 2026, we'll see Chennai water surplus. And lakes, I think the beautification of lakes is one part which I think is happening in different. But the water that goes through the lake to the sea is still, still not got the color that we really all want it to happen. But I think that will also happen once these kind of initiatives become a reality, is what I feel.
Yeah, we're actually looking forward for that thing to happen. And of course, as you said, this is only possible when you have right policy in place and a vision in place with suitable technology. When all three things can work together with, when the muscle from government, which can actually take it to the next level. Well, so this is about Chennai. So what is actually happening with Bangalore? Because, there was a time when we used to borrow water from state of Karnataka, right? And we used to borrow a lot. But then Chennai, this time we are not hearing about this water shortage for some reasons. Because whereas in case of Bangalore, the water shortage is quite high and the wells are dried out. The bore wells are gone down to several hundred feet down. And then we have many people are crying on, crying for the water, right? So given this context, what's actually happening in Bangalore? And my connected question to that is, what about the scenario of wastewater management in Bangalore? Was it going as per the requirement, or Bangalore is trying to catch up? So what are you seeing in Bangalore?
I think in Bangalore, I'll be able to give you much more of a on ground details, because I think from 2017-18 onwards, we have been working in the city for addressing this problem. And I think, one of the things that happened in Bangalore was, you would have seen all these lakes and, water bodies due to high methane content, they were, their homes and all these issues that was there. So at that time, city of Bangalore actually had something called as Grand Challenges Karnataka. So Grand Challenges Karnataka's first call, which is the first grand challenge in the country, which as per the Niti Aayog's direction, they were looking for startups which could come up with solutions that will monitor the discharge of water from buildings into the lakes. So that had to be reported to the government, and we had to stop that. And if at all they have discharged, they have to discharge treated good quality water. So we were the startup which was taken, and then the government had given us about 10 lakhs of grant money. And then with that money, we actually were given an opportunity to pilot our set of sensors in buildings at the discharge point in the buildings. So we were able to monitor and tell the Bangalore Sewerage Board and these places that after the building uses 60% of water for recycling, there's 40% of water which is available that can be discharged to the lakes, and it meets the quality or it doesn't meet the quality. So this is what our solution was able to tell to the customer. So post that, BWSSB and Pollution Control Board, both of them were our mentors and that time, and it was driven by the Department of ITBT various governments were there. So at that time, so the main agenda at that point was, if we install this device, can we allow these buildings to discharge the water to the lakes? So if you calculate a building which is got, say, 1 lakh liters of water, 60,000 liters of water is used for reuse. And if 40,000 liters is excess, every day you will have 40,000 liters of water going into the lake, and your lakes are getting, again regenerated with the right water infrastructure. So if you quantify that in a city like Bangalore, actually we should not be facing a water crisis. So we were asked to do this. We did it in 50 buildings. And today we do it. We have around 150 to 200 buildings that we do it. So today the implementation of certain policies have taken a hit in Karnataka, which I found was one of the reasons why, many of these, schemes could not come in completely. So if there were discharge of water into the lakes correctly, we would have recharged the groundwater throughout the year. Because, Bangalore is a city with people, people are there everywhere, right? I mean, it's not a city which is with very few people like any other developed country we're talking. We have enough people using water. Every day there's wastewater created that is getting discharged. And plus, there were municipal plants. So today, as we speak today, we are working with few builders who have decided to use only treated water from the municipal wastewater treatment plant for construction purpose. So the rule had come in from 2nd of April to make it mandatory, and then it has happened. So the technology to monitor, study the water quality, how much water quantity we have, if this is in place, I think we can manage Bangalore water crisis much, much better way. And there are a lot of initiatives the government have taken. We ourselves were there in a drill which was done in 2018 and 19, where they wanted to provide treated water in separate tankers for reuse in buildings. So you don't have to use Kaveri water. So your requirement for Kaveri water will go to 40%. 60% would be recycled water. These things, implementation, I think this summer it has to be implemented. I think people are waiting for a rain and then everything will change. I don't think that's going to solve the problem. So these initiatives in Bangalore are something which we are also closely working with. And many customers today have made sure that their building uses only 40% water, which is from, tankers or, BWSs.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Waiting for rain is not just a solution, and there need to be an alternate solution to tackle this challenge. One thing I could also remember from a discussion, it was told like it's good to recharge your ponds, but individuals are trying to recharge their borewells, and it could actually damage the aquifer if it is not controlled or treated properly. So because people need to be cautious, because a lot of people who reads this, who learns from other people who may not be expert on this, they take suggestions and do by themselves, which eventually spoils the entire ecosystem permanently. So what are the do's and don'ts people need to do when it comes to wastewater management? This is important, especially when people are, more and more people are building, decentralized wastewater management plants at their societies. Recently, we even come across people are using, cow dungs in their sewage treatment plant. So what are the do's and don'ts in these cases? So from your expertise, what do you suggest for a larger audience to look up?
Yeah. So I think, in terms of the wastewater treatment solutions, I think I'll answer the last part of your question first. So, treatment technology is today a largely, people-dependent stuff, because if you have a treatment plant, the person who designed the treatment plant isn't operating it. So, because they are not operating it, the owner of the plant today has to rely on multiple sources to get the knowledge. So, I think today if we can address that issue. So that's one of the issues that we are also addressing, where we are trying to say that if you have a sewage treatment plan, if this is the process, you've got to manage it in this way, and this is the output that you can get. So this is one stage, using cow dung or using any way to grow bacteria into the wastewater treatment plants. Today people say you can do, bioculture. Multiple methodologies are there, but there's a standard wastewater treatment plant design. So which I'm sure in the guidelines document, which we have also been part of, we have written some of the guidelines on how to actually even get that. So do's and don'ts are very, very straightforward. But unfortunately, these treatment plans are not, designed, or even, like the builder builds it for the community. Then it goes into the hands of the association. Then association has to run it with a facilities management company. So today we have multiple stakeholders on top of it being working on it. So what we see here is using some technology, IoT or some technology that can be used to make sure that how your infrastructure works and what are the improvements that you need, and then make it like a, you know, like a self-driven car. You know, it should be a self-driven STP. So that's how it should work. So once you do that, the next step is where, you know, reuse and recycling and everything can be even spoken about. If you have a plant which is undersized, you know, you don't have the right space, you've not given the right space for the plant, and then you have to operate the plant, it's a big challenge, right? So yeah. I think that's where one of the issues primarily is there in know-how of how to operate it.
Yeah. I completely understand, because it's better to take an expert's advice on not only building this and also in maintaining those treatment plants. And one thing I also wanted to ask you, Varun, when people think of wastewater management, those days it can be only possible by urban local governance or larger societies. So what about today? Can an individual who wish to recycle their water, is it possible with the today's technology? Is it cost effective also? Because that's a bigger question when it comes to the setting up this plant. If it is not cost effective, it won't be viable for an individual house or a small society which has 10, 15 houses in place to do this kind of wastewater management, right?
Sure. Yeah, so I think, see, there are multiple solutions like that on an individual house level, or you can actually separate your gray water and, you know, black water separately, and then, you know, reuse the gray water. Black water can be sent into a septic tank, and then that gets treated that way. So there are multiple solutions like that. And there are also today STPs which are fully anaerobic STPs. You know, so you don't need to provide any equipments, or there are reed bed technology, which is actually a technology where it uses different types of plant species that will, you know, take off all the biological load from the wastewater. So there are cost effective solutions which are available, but everything comes with a footprint. I mean, how much space do you have? And I think that's the question that today everyone actually is worried about when you look at such a solution. ROI or return on investment by putting a sewage treatment plant, I think, is not a no more a brainer, because, you know, if you start using it for toilet flushing, and if you're using that water every day, and then suddenly you don't have the system working, you have to buy the water from outside. I mean, there is no other, you have to pay for the water. So it is a 365 days functioning, you know, device. So you have to maintain it in such a way. For all 365 days, it is going to give you, say, so much of percentage of water. So you have to maintain and operate it. Otherwise, you're spending two times the cost. So just to give you a number on top of this would be like, you know, there are treatment technologies which are like 20 to 25 rupees per kiloliter. And there are, you know, advanced membrane technologies which are 40 to, you know, 45, 50 rupees per kiloliter. Okay. But if you have to buy one tanker, it will be costing you 100 to 150 rupees. So the per kiloliter wise itself, there's a straight away you have it's just, you know, one third of the cost of what you buy for water. So there is a clear cut ROI which is available. But the only challenge here is that, do you have enough space? Do you have money to operate it? Can you buy the chemicals? Can you give the electricity continuously for this? Or if it's a non-electricity one, are you able to not, I mean, if there's an order, how do you manage it? So these know-how is very, very important for any society or at an individual level to do. But there are technologies which are there, widely used.
I agree completely with you, because this is something where, you know, which is economically viable if societies wants to replace their dependent on the other freshwater source. This is, even sometimes we don't know, even we have been hearing in Bangalore, you know, people are carrying water from the treated plants, but then they're giving it as a freshwater. Nobody knows what source the waters are provided, right? So that is something, a different thing where beyond the capability of individuals to figure out where the waters are taken from. Now, what are the policy changes required, at least at state levels? Let's say in the state of Karnataka and in state of Tamil Nadu, what are the policy level changes which are required in order to make it much better compared to the existing one? You know, whatever is happening. So if you want to improve it, or in general, what are the policy recommendations that you can make it to make this system working much better?
Yeah, so I think the policy part that has been kind of I would say a value add for end users would be, you know, if I am treating the water, and do I have an option to generate a potential revenue? For example, you have agriculture purpose, you can use the water. So can there be a, you know, see, today water is not a resource, it's a commodity. So if water is priced properly, can there be a proper pricing policy for water, which allows, making sure that, if you have excess treated water, I can sell you a treated water at a particular price. Today in Bangalore, 15 rupees per kiloliter is the cost of treated wastewater from BWSSB plants. So if BWSSB plants can give you at that price, there are a lot of these private plants also available, which has excess treated water. So if this becomes like a potential, revenue generator for any of the person who's operating this, right, this will have a huge, taker. So we need to work on policies to, make sure that it becomes much more viable to operate. So if you generate, say, if today you have 40,000 extra liters of water and you're getting paid 15 rupees for that water, then you are able to actually run your operations effectively because you have some portion of your budget or revenue that is you're getting from this. So I think this is something I feel there should be a real thought out stuff in this, because see, the cost of water is a very, very important concern. And every country, if you go to any developed country or any country where, so they have priced it. If you give me the sewage water to manage, you have to give me at this price. So if you give it to government, you have to give. So in India, we're not budgeting it to do it. I mean, okay, you have a connection, let's connect it and then we'll do whatever. So I think this part of pricing at a correct city level would add a lot of value, because today there are, much, much better technologies to solve this problem. You can monitor this. And then there are a lot of these issues of, discharging untreated water and all these things where Pollution Control Board is been monitoring. We are also part of a project where we are monitoring the discharge of, the water that flows through a lake which goes into Tamil Nadu. So there's a big case which is going on, and then we are now monitoring and giving the data to Central Pollution Control Board along with both states. So what we see is if it's good water that is going continuously every day, you have good treated water that is flowing from a state to the other state. I mean, everybody is able to understand the quality of that water. I think we have 365 days of water which is coming in. I mean, you don't have to request for water. You don't need to, have all these, whatever is happening between Tamil Nadu and Karnataka stuff. So there is water is going to flow. So if it's a good quality, it's human beings who have to make it. So I think that's a policy I feel would add value in terms of budgeting it properly.
Perfect. For a larger audience, I just wanted to mention Varun puts up some interesting sensors along the rivers and then monitors it, control. And of course, there are a lot of new ways people monitor large water bodies, especially with the help of remote sensing. And Varun, let's try it sometime with remote sensing or with drones to see how, the ground-based measurement versus this works better. Yeah.
No, that's the next step. So actually what happened in our journey was, we are passionate about water. So we said, okay, we'll solve the problem, but we realized that we can't solve the problem. Maybe we can solve for one apartment, but not further than that. So then we said, okay, we need sensors. So we started, developing sensors, and we realized that in India, everything is imported in sensors. So we spent 2 years, 3 years building these sensors. So once the sensors were built, we were like trying to tell to people we are a startup. So we had to, maybe sell it to the government or sell it to some private people. And they said, okay, we don't believe sensors. So we had an issue like that. So then policy, like, the grand challenges and all were a policy to push startups, right? So we kind of got the opportunity to deploy these sensors. So once we deployed the sensors, today we are sitting with 6 to 7 years of data from these sensors. And this data today is kind of, like today if we can actually tell you on, the entire, this ORR, there are IT parks. So we monitor almost all the, I would say 80% of the IT parks waste treatment plant is monitored by us. So which is equivalent to a very high quantity of water, right? So this data, if we can map into with a GIS, and we also create digital twins of these treatment plants, yeah. So we can tell you that if there's a problem with the plant, we can figure out that. And today we've also integrated that with AI, so which also tells you in a big scale. But having this data, the next step is, I think, geosensing. Tomorrow they are allowed to discharge water to the lakes, right? So I think with the colors of the lakes, you can figure out whether it's meeting the standards and a lot of things. I'm sure you are the expert on that. So there's the journey is like that. And I think that's where we all have to go, So.
Yep. Look forward and let's try it sometime on how it works. And before we are actually running short of time, before we wind up, I just wanted to bring out an interesting question. Probably this can create more and more competition to you. Okay. Perhaps this is something where this business is known to many, right? What about the entrepreneurial opportunity exists for young entrepreneurs on this field? Because I remember in the beginning of this discussion, you said there are big players. So while competing with these big players, you have survived close to a decade now. In fact, I think over a decade now. So what do you suggest for the young entrepreneurs who wish to pursue the career on this field? And what are the opportunity exists for, you know, someone to venture into this business? Can you throw some light on this?
Yeah, so I think I wouldn't say this is a very easy industry to be in, but I had started this company when I was 25. So the main, I would say the reason why I wanted to start something like this was because, you know, you have to get exposed to this industry. So I got exposed to this industry in India and in the Middle East. So when I saw this, you need to talk to your mentors, obviously. So my mentors were saying that, you know, you don't need 15 years of experience to understand this industry. Learn from us and you jump into it. So that's how I came into the space. But I think today you have a lot of advantage of, you know, learning the industry better. There's a lot of data information that is available. Like if you are looking at, you know, water management as a, you know, you want to make some water management equipments, there is a lot of potential in that. So today I feel, you know, there is much, much better clarity of where you can get into in this space. So in that way, I feel it's a right time for if anybody is thinking to start a company in this space, you need to look at what has happened for the last 10 years because technology is changing very, very quickly. And I think the AI revolution that came in is going to completely change the way we operate infrastructure. So if we're going to change all those things. So if that's the way things are changing, I think you have to be updated with the technology. We ourselves were not thinking about the AI and all that. And today we're sitting with AI on a platform. So we believe that, I personally believe today you are at the great time of technology. So using technology and building any business will have, you know, faster learning curve and then impact. So I don't think there are greatly big challenges that you will have if you're taking up this entrepreneurship journey in this space.
I think we all should thank the team of IIT Madras who has given us the exposure to this field, especially Professor Philip and Professor Satyanarayana, Indumati, Professor Indumati, and others who has given this opportunity for us to work on this so that, you know, now we can see a full-fledged entrepreneur working in the country on this leash area. So thank you so much, Varun, for your time and sharing your thoughts with our listeners. And we look forward to interact with you on future discussions on more about this nitty-gritties. Today, we are short of time, so we have to end here. And thanks again for joining, Varun.
Thank you. Thanks for this opportunity.
If you liked our show, dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs. Check us out at our Twitter handle at @takshashilainst or our website, takshashila.org.in.